What's up, everyone, and welcome to I'm Sean Mott, your host, and this has been for the past several weeks. Tyler Small, my
man. What's going on?
Nothing much, you know. Another weekend of feeling even more confused and keep asking more questions to what is going on in WandaVision.
I know, right? It's the most ambiguous Marvel production so far.
Yeah, they're definitely taking a huge swing, and I'm here for it. I love these kind of like mystery, more things unravel as you go along, kind of anything, whether it's a TV show or a movie or even video game that tells a story. I love things that make you more interested in it the more you go along, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I will say I just started that show, The Servant, on Apple TV. It's very much like the same thing where it's like, I'm on season two and I'm still waiting to have shit from season one answered. But like every time you get an answer, wow, it opens up more questions kind of thing. And it's definitely kept me and my girlfriend are going crazy right now waiting for the next episode. Cause like, we're like, what the fuck? But it feels
really good. Yeah,
it is. It feels very much like WandaVision in that way too.
I do like a lot of M. Night's stuff. So I've been meaning to check it out. I've a lot of stuff on Apple TV. I've only really watched Ted Lasso on Apple TV, and that's really it.
It is good. Is that one good?
It is wonderful. I don't know any other word to describe it than wonderful. Amazing.
I'll watch that next. I'm about to, like, when we get done with this, I'm going to finish Defending Jacob.
I need to watch that one too. I want to watch that on the very bed.
It's good. Yeah.
I love Chris Evans, so.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Bring it up.
Yeah, he's wonderful.
He is wonderful.
He's a wonderful everything.
I've been addicted to Money Heist. It's on Netflix. It's crazy.
That's the that one's like a European show or something, right?
Yeah, it's all based in Spain.
Okay.
The only thing that I guess would be off-putting about it for some people is that they filmed it completely in Spanish and they just dub it over American.
I'd rather watch subtitles than a live action dub. Live action dubs throw me off hard.
Which they do have subtitles. I don't know if they have like a Spanish version. I don't think so. But maybe they do. I don't really know.
I'll have to check that out.
It has subtitles with it, but it's kind of like anime. When you watch a dubbed anime, the subtitles is always the Japanese translation, not the American translation.
Yeah.
So it's funny to see the differences of like what phrasing they use in words, because they change a lot of stuff. But it's the same general thing. But it's like a mix of Ocean, like the Ocean's movies with, what did I describe it with? It's like more serious than the Ocean's movies in a way, because it's like a drama, but it sucks you in. It's obviously about a heist. It's like, because Sam was like, what's Money Heist? I was like, it's about a heist. It's kind of hard to describe.
It's about a money heist.
Yeah, it's crazy though. It's nuts. It's like Oceans times like a million. Like the way it like unlayers as it goes. It's addicting.
I'll take your word for it, because so far we like all the same shit. So
yeah, it was cool. I remember Kevin Smith mentioning it on his podcast months ago, and I was trying to find a new show to watch after I finished Mr. Robot, and I tried to try to finish The Outsider, and
I liked that a lot.
I liked it. It was just like, it wasn't the right vibe I was going for at the time. I was like, this is really good, but I'm not into it right now. So I'll end up revisiting it because everyone said it's awesome the way it finishes. I was on like episode 3 or 4. So I liked it so far. It's just like, I wanted to be able to be super into it, to pay attention. It's just not the right thing right now, I guess.
Gotcha.
If that makes any sense.
For sure.
But if anyone is new to Metalcore Nerds, this is a podcast now also in video form on YouTube as well. If you're watching us on YouTube or audio, please subscribe. Either way, if it's on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or YouTube, that would be awesome. And this is pretty much, I take pop culture and mix it with heavy music, take people from the heavy music community, whether they're in a band or are in the background or whatever, and we usually talk about something pop culture, and we've been doing this WandaVision After Show ever since it started. And there will be a new one coming out with Falcon and Winter Soldier, because that starts a week after WandaVision ends. So it's just going to keep on rolling with the after shows, which I've been having a blast with. I'm very glad that Tyler agreed to do this with me. And continues to theorize and be proven wrong every single week.
Yeah, I was actually just thinking, I was like, oh shit, like I'm not gonna have this to look forward to every week after WandaVision. And I was just like, I was like, you're gonna get a different guy. I was like, that's why I was like, I gotta stake my claim test acolyte when that comes out. I was like, I'm gonna pick one that I wanna do next. I wanna do Star Wars. I wanna do a Star Wars review. So Acolyte will be, I'll sign up for that one unless I'm on tour and I can't or some shit. But we'll figure out a way to make it work. Either way.
Yeah. We'll make it work. And warning before we get into everything. Spoiler warning. We're going to be talking about episode 6 in complete detail and length. And talk about what could come next. What might be going on. We most likely will be wrong. Because Marvel is the king of flipping everything on its head. And making you think one thing. Especially this show. It's been very... I feel like everything is a misdirection. Which could be playing into their favor, that they'll give us something that we thought of, but we've questioned this whole time.
Misdirection and speed.
Before we get into the actual episode, we actually rewatched this right before we're recording this, so it's very fresh in our brains. But in the recap, they show Aaron Taylor Johnson dying, his version of Quicksilver, or Pietro. He wasn't even called Quicksilver. I did learn, I don't know if this is completely true, but I heard that them using Pietro's character, Fox made them kill him off because Evan Peters, Peter Maximoff, being Quicksilver, being so popular in their X-Men movies, they didn't want them to even call them Quicksilver. Obviously, they couldn't call them mutants because they didn't own the rights to mutants.
This is true.
And everything.
That is why he got offed so quickly. It was because they were both simultaneously happening and the other one kind of getting more traction at the time. And they had the properties.
And they let them have Wanda as like a trade-off almost, which is pretty wild. That's what decided that.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of happy accidents have made the MCU what it is now.
Very, very true. So I found it interesting that they showed him, like you were saying, like, oh, maybe it was kind of telling the people that like, this isn't the same Pietro we remember, or reminding people of him dying in Ultron, even though they do mention it in episode 3 when Monica brings it up. Oh, he was killed by Ultron, wasn't he? Which was crazy in itself that Ultron was name dropped anyway. But yeah, I found it interesting. I don't know. Like you said, we could see him still come in.
Yeah, I think they want you to question, like, you know, the bullet, like, oh, the bullet wounds are different. He looks different. They want like any casual viewer, I think, who may not be super familiar or who maybe hasn't watched Age of Ultron since it was in theaters, you know, fucking 6 years ago or whatever. Like,
yeah,
they probably wanted to give, because it's like anything. It's like you watch a thing and it's like, you're watching like a season of, you know, Angel or something, and then you're on season 4, and then the intro shows a clip from a character that was in season 2. You're like, they wouldn't do that unless this character is about to show up again, or they wanted you thinking about it. So they're planting the seed for a reason. And I feel like that in and of itself is just something to think about. I don't want to overthink it too much because we overthink fucking everything. But it's like everything I choose not to overthink is the shit I overlooked, I feel like, later. I don't know.
It was the same with me too. I have a lot of, this whole show has created this cool, I mean, obviously in the Facebook group, Melkor's Facebook group, we've been kind of been talking about it, but I have like a handful of friends who hit me up every Friday now, and they're like, okay, when you watch it, let's talk about this. And I'll have some shout outs as we go into this who helped me work through some things, I think, like with talking with them with it, which is, I love that about it, that it's like created this like conversation with people about, oh, what could this mean? What could this mean? Could it go here? Could it go there? You know, it's fun. I know a lot of people have kind of been harping on the people like, oh, just watch the show and enjoy it. And I'm like, you can theorize and still enjoy it. When we have been proven wrong, it's not like it bummed us out. We're just like, okay, they did something smarter than us. That's their job. We are not writing Marvel properties. You know what I mean? Like, we're just trying to see what's happening.
It's also like, I feel like if you're only going to give us fucking 30 to 40 minutes every week, like what are we going to do to fill the space other than just fill it with our own bullshit? You know,
that is definitely why they made this show, to pick everything apart and see what happens next. Like, obviously episode 4 was just us. Like, they knew it that much that they were like, yeah, we're just going to mock you out of your faces.
Yeah.
while making you love us at the same time.
Yeah.
So this episode, it seems like they skipped the 90s and went straight to the 2000s, because Malcolm in the Middle was 2000 show. And this is obviously straight up a Malcolm in the Middle episode. There's like everything about it is Malcolm in the Middle. There's like no mixing of anything. It's just Malcolm in the Middle. The intro, the way the kids are talking to the cameras, even like how we were talking, Vision is Bryan Cranston. And even Sam said, he's like, he is nailing the dad 100%. And I was like, yeah, yeah, he is.
So like the next one, which is kind of like the...
It'd be like the 2010s-ish, like modern era.
Yeah, it kind of seemed like a... Yeah, no, I didn't realize that they skipped the 90s. That's a good call. I didn't realize that.
Though it's kind of like the 80s. It seems like late 80s, early 90s, because like Full House was late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, and I mean, so... like it's still like I feel like the early 2000s still felt a lot like the 90s. Yeah, sure. Yeah. So
it's not something to look that crazy into. You know what I mean?
Or is it?
It might be. I don't know. I thought it was sick. It was a Malcolm in the Middle thing. Like as soon as the intro started, I was like, oh shit. It's Malcolm in the Middle. I was like, this is awesome.
So you're gonna hate me, but I never really liked or watched that show. So really? Like I'd seen an episode or two, but I never really got into it. But but I still felt like I knew that's what it was. Anyways, iconic enough that like it clicked with me. It's the commercial really felt like I was watching Fox Kids.
Yeah. We will get into that commercial because wow.
So
the intros of the last few episodes have been very cryptic. It's like, ignore the illusion, let the chaos come in. These aren't exact quotes of the lyrics, but they're very like, it's very meta to what's going on. I mean, this whole show is very meta in itself, but the lyrics have been very hitting the nail on the head for sure. And it's interesting that Agnes is in the intro as like a main character of the show, and then Pietro Maximoff as himself. We'll get more into the Pietro stuff because very fishy, very sketchy.
Everything is fishy and sketchy.
That's true. That is very fair. But I loved Billy coming in. He's dressed up in his I called these the dollar store comic accurate costumes, and he is his comic character Wiccan. And then we see Wanda come down in the Scarlet Witch headdress and everything like that. And she says she's a Sokovian fortune teller, which her mom in the comics was a fortune teller. Well, her not really birth mom, who she thinks is her mom.
Yep.
Her parent thing is very confusing in the comics. It gets changed a million times.
Yep.
So I thought that was really funny. You know, Pietro's playing like the cool uncle. And it's very interesting. Anytime the kids are talking to the camera, you can see he's like paying attention to what they're saying. Like,
yeah.
Even when he's like sleeping on the couch, he's like, his eyes are open. He's pretending to snore and everything.
Yeah. I mean, that's like a whole subject in itself is like, what does he know?
Like, yeah, exactly. And he brings up that past memory and Wanda's like, it's not really how I remember it going. And he goes, oh yeah, you probably suppressed the trauma, which like is what this whole show is about, is her suppressing her trauma, you know?
Which would explain the whole why they kind of look like Nick Fury and Natasha is because it probably didn't actually happen at all.
True.
You know what I mean?
That is very true. And I mentioned this, the poster that the old lady gives the fish to, there's an Adam on the poster, and X-Men and mutants are called the Children of Adam. It could be an accident, but it doesn't seem like Marvel does things on accident. So that is could be a very interesting... Everyone's thinking mutants is going to be introduced in this somehow. And there is more evidence that a little bit later. Vision comes down. He's in this crazy comic accurate Vision costume, except there's gym shorts involved. It's hilarious. And then he thinks he's a luchador for some reason, which is funny.
Yeah. Trying to play.
A booger. Yes.
Yeah, who's the popsicle still cracks me up.
Yeah, especially after you see that Evan Peters Quicksilver, when you like first meet him, he's eating a popsicle.
Yeah.
Like the nods in the show are just very deep, like next level nods for sure.
It's deep.
Yeah. So he kind of, at first he's like, oh, it's the only thing in my closet. like, oh, okay, the effects from last week are still in there. And then he kind of plays along to them being like the cutesy married couple again. And then he changes his plans. He's like, oh yeah, I'm gonna go help the neighborhood watch. And then she almost goes, that's not what you're supposed to do, but stops herself. And he's like, oh, what are you gonna say? And she's like, oh, nothing. You know, like, she's fully aware that she can't just rewind stuff or like do cut scenes and it goes back to normal like she did in the beginning of the episode. Like, he is starting to gain control of himself.
Yeah.
Somehow. The whole vision thing is still, I still don't know how.
Yeah, because it's like she's somehow giving him his powers while manifesting him. Yeah. I don't know, man. It's, they don't want us to know. Like,
no, they definitely don't. But Pietro comes in, he's like, oh, if they need a father figure, which the father figure thing is going to play into more of how we get farther in this episode with Pietro. He's like, oh yeah, no, I'll help the kids trick-or-treating, whatever. And then Vision goes off, but he does say, be good, Wanda. Because he knows she's doing something that's wrong.
Yeah.
Just be good. I'm like, man, the tension is nuts.
Mom and Dad haven't been the same.
Not fighting, just
different. Just different.
I love the kids talking to the cameras. That was a cool like switch in perspective too. It's like from the kids' perspective almost most of the episode in a way.
At first I really didn't like the kids who were playing, the actors who were playing the kids when they first showed up. It was kind of weird and they were a little odd, but I felt like they kind of came into their roles in this one a little more
for sure.
And but yeah, the little kid who's playing Wiccan really feels like Wiccan.
Yeah.
You know, Wiccan's a very like sweet character. Mm-hmm. I feel, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And then obviously we get Pietro coming back with the Quicksilver costume and also has Tommy awesome. In the Quicksilver costume with the all the way to the hair. I love that. That was so great.
Yeah.
And then they go out trick or treating and he says this very curious line, unleash hell, demon spawn. So obviously, we've been talking about Mephisto this whole fucking time. The whole internet is saying Mephisto. Well, the internet's either saying it's not fucking Mephisto or it definitely is Mephisto. And in the comics, the kids show up because they're fragments of Mephisto's soul. Literally demon spawn. I don't know what else to say more than that.
It's just like, it just feels like a fucking misdirect. I just feel like I want to call their bluff, but then it's like, I just feel like if that's what we all think, then it can't be what's true. I don't know.
That's what I've been thinking too. It's like almost everyone thinks it, so how could it be true? But at the same time, when there's doing stuff like that, it's hard to ignore. You know.
And then there's like, I mean, I don't know if we're, I don't want to jump ahead, but like, you know, there's just parts where I really think Quicksilver's pulled from another universe, and he is Quicksilver brainwashed just from a different multiverse. And then there's times where he's acting a little too super villainy, silly. Like, I don't know. It's just,
yeah.
But it's the his behavior doesn't add up to him being in on it.
Yeah, it kind of does. We'll get more to that in a little bit. So Wanda ends up meeting with her. Well, before that, Pietro says kick ass, and then Wanda kind of like goes kick ass. Which is obviously a reference to Aaron Taylor Johnson played Kick-Ass, and Evan Peters was his best friend.
Okay, so I thought I was the only. I thought that was me overthinking it when he said that. My brain was immediately like, "Oh, because they're both." I'm like, "No, Tyler, you're overthinking that. That's too
eventual." No, definitely not. That definitely had to have been. They said it twice in a row. Like,
yeah,
there's no way that was a mistake.
Yeah,
no way.
That was funny as fuck.
Yeah, that was great. And then Wanda talks to Herb, who's dressed as Frankenstein, which. Obviously, he is a normal townsperson because they kind of confirmed that with the New Jersey ID. But there was the theory that he could be the High Evolutionary because his name is Herb, but his real name isn't Herb, at least according to the New Jersey ID. But it was funny that it was a Frankenstein because the High Evolutionary creates creatures in a Frankenstein way, like he created Rocket. No one's really said that. I just thought it was kind of funny. That's probably me overthinking it because obviously he's probably not the High Evolutionary. It does seem like he has a bigger part in this whole hex though, because he does ask, is there anything you want me to change or something I can do to help? Like, he definitely knows more than everyone else.
Huh.
I don't know what,
Yeah,
he's definitely more aware.
For all we know, fucking Loki's in there pulling the strings. Like, we don't know what the hell they're doing. Like,
that would be pretty wild. But it seems like, how would he end up there? I don't know.
No, he wouldn't. We think, you know, it's like,
I don't know. It seems like him and Agnes are both still into it, and we'll get more on the Agnes stuff.
They're running out of time to not tell us shit, though, is all I'm saying.
Damn. Well, they have 3 1-hour episodes left, which is a whole movie worth of content left. Well, that's like, a lot of time.
And like they said, they said that episode 6 was when shit really goes crazy, and then from there on, it's like an Marvel MCU. Yeah, so it's like, I think we're going to start seeing shit hit the fan hard in the next episode. Yeah.
For sure. And then we see Vision start kind of going towards the edge of the hex, the border of the town. And he sees people starting to glitch. He sees that woman who can't hang up the ghost. And you see the tear going down her eye. And you're just like.
And her husband's just like with the pumpkin.
Yeah. They're like stuck. Yeah. It's fucked. It's so like fucked up. Like, this show is so subtly and non-subtly dark.
Yeah.
At the same time, you know, there's like the subtle things, and then there's the things that are very obvious. But it's crazy. So he's trying to find answers because obviously he doesn't know what's going on either. Then we go back to the sword base, which the time thing is crazy because it seems like it's right after their altercation with Wanda, and you know, in the anomaly, they're on to the next day already. And you can see on the screens, it's like a little behind of what we just saw. You're kind of like re-seeing what we just saw on the screens of what they're viewing. And an interesting thing that the drone was a Stark drone. I don't think they brought that up, or we could even have noticed it last week, maybe, and we just missed it. But
because it was 80s tech.
80s, yeah. It was just, I thought it was cool that we ended up finding out that it was a Stark drone, like an actual, you know, like obviously a drone is going to set Wanda off, but a Stark drone, that'll really set Wanda off.
Yeah.
And it's still covered in her like red energy still.
Yeah, which also kind of ties into like it being residual, like on you know, whether that was the effect on Wanda, or you know, that matter that leaves it doesn't lose whatever. I mean, it was molecularly changed regardless, but it makes you wonder about whatever the repercussions are of that residual energy.
Yeah. And then there's this big argument with Monica and Hayward. And Hayward seems to be very anti-superhero people, obviously. And he kind of tries to use the blip against Monica. He brings up her dead mom, which is not cool. This dude is
a dick.
He's a dick for sure. There's definitely something going on. And we'll get a little bit more into that as this episode unravels. He boots them out. And then Monica and Jimmy whoop some fucking ass. And then they up the MCU disguise a little more with a poncho and a hood rather than just a baseball hat.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
It makes you wonder if like what happened. It just makes you wonder even more like what happened to S.W.O.R.D. without Monica, you know, and Rambo
and her mom.
Rambo's gone. Yeah. Like they were no one there without their watch. Like no one was there to stop.
Cause he does mention it's like, you don't understand what we had to do to keep the lights on. And then also I didn't mention that she brings up Carol Danvers again and she doesn't seem stoked again. It makes you think more of what we just kind of theorized last week. It was like, oh, she never came back when her mom was sick or whatever. But it seems like something else happened in the meantime between Captain Marvel and now. Like maybe there was some mission that went wrong or something, or who knows? Because it doesn't seem like she's come back to Earth. You know, it was like she was there in the 90s, left with the Skrulls, and then came back when Fury hit the beeper at the end of Infinity War, and that's when she showed up. And then since then, well, obviously she came back for the end fight during Endgame too, but that seems like the only time she was really on Earth, unless it was super hidden, which I guess that could be true too. We don't know. I guess we'll get those answers in the second movie, maybe. Who knows?
Or Secret Wars. Like, who fucking knows? Like, what the fuck's going to happen?
Yeah. So they take over and they go and sneak in and they have Darcy break into the firewall. And it seems like, I think I might be jumping before the commercial, but they find out that Hayward is tracking Vision, which they say is decaying vibranium. So kind of confirms that he's fucking dead as fuck. I mean, we kind of figured, but decaying vibranium. And then they did explain that his body was, it was like that artificial tissue melded with vibranium. So it makes sense that it's decaying.
Yeah.
But again, like this importance on Vision, Sword had Vision, and now they're tracking Visions. Like Vision is the important key to whatever they're doing.
Yeah, and they want him like more than their Wanda's just in the way.
Yeah, yeah. It very much seems so. And Nerdist posted this theory that Sword could be creating Sentinels, which is obviously the big thing against mutants, which definitely adds up with this. Like, they want Vision. Is Vision the key to creating Sentinels? And he seems very anti-superhero. It's like the anyone who has superpowers could almost be like mutants in the MCU, at least starting it out, and then mutants can kind of get lumped in with them as, you know, being seen as the enemy rather than the help people need from these crazy, because it seems like more people, at least, especially the government type figures, are blaming all of the everything that's happened that's bad on their being superheroes. It's like the powers brought other powers to them, you know.
Yeah.
More, even though they saved the day, they kind of brought upon all the disaster too, you know.
It's, yeah, like, it's like after like saving the world from Thanos, like the audacity, like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? It's just, and it's like, you gotta think, and it just makes you wonder what, like, okay, so like Bucky and Falcon, they're somehow, they have to be working with the government some to some end, and then the government's doing their own, they have their own Cap coming out. It just makes you wonder, like, you know, Steve Rogers is alive, he's just old, you know what I mean? He's not dead, we don't think. And Rhodey's do, like, it just makes you wonder, like, how did all this happen on the Avengers watch who are still around, you know?
It that's whatever the big problem, though, is that the Avengers are around sort of, but they're very much scattered.
Yeah,
you know, like Captain Marvel's back in space again, Thor's back in space, the Guardians are in space, Doctor Strange, who we think still might get involved in this, maybe is tangled up with this. Spider-Man was in fucking high school, and then he ends up dealing with the mess of Far From Home. It's just like, but yeah, like, where is Rhodey? It seems they've already announced that Rhodey's going to come in Winter Soldier and Falcon and Winter Soldier, so we'll see. I am very interested to see how that does, because it's like Zemo has the same kind of outlook. He's like, superhero people can't exist.
Yep.
You know, so it's almost like the government is forming, which I think they're going to lead to the Thunderbolts eventually, which they'll create their own Avengers that they can control very tightly, but they're really mostly bad guys, you know? It's just, they seem like good guys on the surface to everyone else. And it's just so they can control them.
There's so we'll much see. Potential within like these TV series that are coming out, not even counting the movies.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
It's bananas. It's just like, it just makes you wonder, like, who and what are we going to see in like Secret Wars and all that? Because I mean, this year we only have what, Loki and Winter is the only other property coming out?
No.
This year?
No, it's, we get Loki. Well, we get What If, which is kind of not connected, but we, Ms. Marvel and Hawkeye are both this year.
For TV series.
Yeah.
Shit. Okay.
Yeah. Really, really leaning hard into this Young Avengers thing. Like, obviously, we have Wiccan Speed with this, and then Kate Bishop with Hawkeye. Ms. Marvel, who's not really comically a Young Avenger, but I think she might get thrown in there. That would only make sense. So it's crazy. They're rolling really hard to Young Avengers pretty fast.
Are there any movies actually slated to drop this year other than Black Widow, which probably won't happen? I don't even fucking know.
It's supposed to be Black Widow in May, Shang-Chi in July, Eternals in November, and then Spider-Man in December.
So Spider-Man's supposed to come out this year?
Yeah, it's supposed to come out at the end of this year, yeah.
I wonder how all that's going to pan out.
It's like there's all these reports coming out that it's still planning to have a theatrical release in May, which obviously there's so many theaters that aren't open, so it's not going to be that beneficial for them. But I think since that Raya and the Last Dragon is coming out March 5th, It's a dual release. It's premium access and in theaters. So wherever theaters are open, you can go see it in the theater, but you can also buy it at home on Disney Plus. So I think they might judge and see how well that does. And then they're like, oh, if it did super well, we'll do it with Black Widow. Because it'll still come out theatrically, but like, hey, the places you can't go to a theater, I can buy it at home. Because obviously people will buy Black Widow at home for $20 or $30. Like, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Of course people will.
Yeah.
We haven't had a Marvel movie in over a year.
Like, people, it's like people will sit through a four-hour Snyder cut. They'll fucking pay $30 to see a Marvel movie, like, just to see it. Just to see what the fuck happens, you know? Like, it's
Warner Brothers has like a Warner Brothers has a leg up because there's no paywall. You know, you just have to have HBO Max and then you get it. There's no extra additive, but obviously Marvel has that step up. And people want to say Mulan failed. They made $250 million off VOD, off the premium VOD. Like, they made a lot of money.
And that's a movie a lot of people didn't care about to begin with. So it's like,
yeah, well, it's hard because I think if that came out theatrically, it probably would have made $1 billion. Like, at all of their live action remakes, almost all of them have made $1 billion. Like, like Lion King was whatever, and it still made $1 billion. Like, you know, I love Mulan personally, but whatever. We won't get into that conversation. We get into the commercial break, which is Claymation, like 90s, 2000s, like straight up, like obviously it's like a Go-Gurt commercial or anything, or like a Dunkaroos or whatever we would have saw.
When we were, that when weird. We were that really, it's one of those commercials where it just reminds you that like every commercial you saw as a kid was just fucked up and really weird, and you don't know why it was ever a thing at all. You know?
yeah, exactly. And it gets real dark real fast. The shark comes up and he's like, yeah, you can snack on some Yo Magic. And this dude this kid is starving on a deserted island, and he tries to open it and can't, and he just withers into a skeleton. And Felipe, he's in the Metal Core Nerds group, posts all the time, talks all the time. He's been on Metal Core Nerds itself. Very awesome dude. He's a promoter in Austin, Texas. He was because I was like, me and him were talking about like what we thought it meant. And he was like, oh, he's like, I think it's like, this is obviously coming at a cost, whether it be to Wanda or like the corpse could be Vision. Vision is obviously a corpse, and she's just trying to use her magic to keep him alive. It could also mean that the shark is someone trying to feed on Wanda's magic. And they're like, hey, we'll give you the yogurt is like Vision. Like, she has it, but she really doesn't have them. You know what I mean? And it's like eating away at her. They're trying to steal the magic from her.
Yeah, it's almost like the second when he can't get to her magic, he withers away. Like when he comes to the wall. You know what I mean? It's like, exactly. It's, oh, no magic, no body, like kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which we talked about, which was my theory from the beginning, was that it was just like, I know there were some different ideas about what was really going on, but I was like, I literally think that he's just alive within the parameters of the hex.
Yeah, for sure.
You know?
100%. Like, there's a reason she's been like, we can't leave, and you don't want to know what's out past Westview and stuff like that. It's like, obviously she knows he can't leave. he can't exist outside this bubble. There was another, we talked about the Infinity Stone theory about all the commercials. And this is what, since that was in my head, this is what I thought of when I was watching it at first. Cause I was, every time the commercial comes, everyone's like, what does this mean? What is this alluding to? And I did say the Power Stone was the toaster commercial, but I think it was supposed to be the Mind Stone. Cause I think the toaster is supposed to kind of emulate Vision in a way, because he does call, she does call Vision a toaster in the comics. And like, they has the, you know, it is a red dot, but it's like Mind Stone. This whole Infinity Stones thing could be a very big stretch. It just,
I was never really on board with that theory to begin with. I didn't want to take that away from you.
It's fine. It's just very interesting. I did bring up that the Hydra Soak does very much look like the Tesseract. Like, it's a cube. It's, you know,
it wasn't not valid, but I feel like the yogurt thing kind of threw a wrench in the whole theory.
So,
like everything in this show, though.
Hear me out.
Okay.
He dies. He's the skeleton. Okay. So as soon as you saw the skeleton, I thought Red Skull. Okay. And everything comes at a cost. A soul for a soul.
So you think it
could mean the Soul Stone. Maybe.
It's something.
Maybe. Again, that's like me. I think I was trying to make it happen in my brain, honestly.
That's, but I'm like, that's thin. It's anorexic.
Yeah. It's something. But that, again, like the Infinity Stone thing was in my mind. So as soon as the commercial came out, I was like, okay, what stone is this? You know? So I could have totally brought that from myself. I guess we'll see. I think we're all just clutching because the Infinity Stones were such a big deal in that it was called the Infinity Saga. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's just like, obviously we have an attachment to the Infinity Stones though. Could mean nothing. I don't fucking know.
So quick.
Let me go. Well, not yet. Well, no. Yeah. Okay, yeah. They go back to they're leaving the movie theater, which is showing The Parent Trap and The Incredibles, which they don't come out in the same time period. They're like 6 years apart if you count the Lindsay Lohan Parent Trap and then The Incredibles.
Yeah, that
it is. I think it's more of a representation of what's going on in the show as a whole. But it is funny because Disney owns both of them, so it's like almost like subliminal message to like, hey, you can watch this on Disney Plus.
Well, yeah, because it's like, well, it's funny because so here was my thought on that. So like,
yeah,
you always, when you watch The Incredibles, it always kind of felt like Violet and Dash were like a playoff Quicksilver and Wanda in a way. Kind of like they always felt like an amalgamation of that. Like if Wanda and Invisible Woman were kind of mixed together, yeah, you know, it kind of had that whole vibe. And then The Parent Trap, oh, it's two people who look the same, but they were switched. And then it made me think of Aaron Taylor Johnson and Evan Peters.
It's also like two twins trying to trick their parents to fall in love again.
Yeah, so there's definitely like, maybe it was just a throwaway. Maybe it was foreshadowing for like people with no lives like us. Like, I don't know. It's like,
obviously Incredibles is a family full of people with powers, and
yeah,
it's all a family people with powers.
But so, yeah, so they're like walking out and then Quicksilver is like, you know, oh, hey, well, you, I'll let you, this is your job. I'll let you, I'll let you do the back play, the replay.
It is funny because she goes, what happened to your accent? And he just goes, what happened to yours? You know, which is like insanely meta in itself. And he always answers every question with another question, much like the show does anyway.
Yeah.
It's all just, you know, he mentions like, oh yeah, I got shot up like a chump and then you called out for me and I knew you needed me. But it's like, he saved Hawkeye. He didn't get shot like a chump.
Yeah, but
like
exactly. Himself. He got shot in the street for no reason, which made me feel like, oh, and there was this other universe where Quicksilver was just doing his thing, and then for some reason he was just off and then ripped into this other world, which is kind of where I thought it was. That was what I got from it.
Maybe.
I want to hear this theory that you've been waiting this whole, because when we were rewatching the episode, you were like, I have a thing about this. Yeah. Like, what makes you so sure?
The last part with Quicksilver is when I'll bring it up. So
okay,
we do see Speed getting his powers, and I brought this up to you while we were watching it. He says, "Way to go, little dude!" And the shark in the commercial goes, "Here you go, little dude."
Little dude, yeah.
That cannot be on accident. Like, they both say "little dude" like right after, like, the commercial happens, and then the scene happens. Like, it's has to be. That's very apparent. We'll see how that pans out. That adds to my theory a little bit. Then we go back, and then we find out that, you know, Darcy is still hacking more. It seems like next week we're going to find out who this aerospace engineer is. If John Krasinski shows up next week, I'm going to lose my mind.
I think I've decided it's like my brain thinks it's Reed Richards or Hank McCoy. Like that's kind of where I'm at.
Hank McCoy would be insane, but would it be
the same actor? I think it would be.
Yeah,
I think it would be the X. I think it would be the X Men actor, and he would just be like, "Hank McCoy, blah, blah blah. I have this machine thing I built. Let me help." Like, or I could totally see like, "Hi, I'm Reed Richards. This is my wife Sue," and Emily Blunt comes out of a fucking RV. Like, you know what I mean?
Oh, that would be insane.
They said it was Mark. So insane. Okay, that's Mark Hamill level big. They said it was like a Mark. They said it was like Luke Skywalker big. I don't think Hank. I mean, any X-Men is gonna be that big. Like, Hank McCoy would be huge, but giving that fan vote that we all fucking wanted, and like, I can't get over that one comic book where they drew Reed Richards looking like
John. Yeah,
it was a whole run. They didn't do that on accident because Punisher looks like John Bernthal now in the comics,
and they did it with Nick Fury before Nick Fury got cast as Nick Fury.
Yeah. Like, well,
they did it with Samuel Jackson.
Yeah, well, the Ultimate Comics, Nick Fury was black, and that was kind of where they took it from. I felt like that was kind of a little bit of both, but I know that X-Men is going to be soft rolled into all this, but we know there's a Fantastic Four movie slated. That's confirmed, which is the only reason I'm clinging to the whole Reed Richards thing. But the arrow, when I hear aerospace, and it's like, okay, it's like Reed Richards makes a lot of sense, but then, you know, who made the Blackbird Beast? You know, it's like,
Joel, he has like a vlog and he's been on Metalcore Nerds like a million fucking times. He's like, what if it's Rhodey? And I was like, the only reason is he's not
an aerospace engineer. He's a soldier.
Yeah. And
he's a pilot.
Another thing, they already announced that he's going to be in Falcon and Winter Soldier. So it's like, why would he be in this and then in that? No,
they wouldn't shroud it with that much secrecy just to have it be fucking Rhodey. Like, it's not. And I still think Doctor Strange will show up in the final showdown, going to go on. I still believe that.
Me too.
I wouldn't be surprised if Captain Marvel showed up. Like, we're dealing with the most powerful Avenger. And if she ends, whether they're fighting Mephisto or fighting Wanda, they need Doctor Strange and or Captain Marvel to fight Wanda. Like, if that's what's
happening. They definitely need Doctor Strange. Like, he's the only one equipped to handle this.
And because we know that this leads directly to Doctor Strange 2, they said, it makes sense, but that's kind of predictable. Whoever this guy is that we're going to see in the next episode is not predictable. And I just, like, we're 1 week away from this fucking... I know it's got to be the next episode because they're like on the way to meet them right now.
Yeah.
Fuck. It's just like us.
We're gonna find out next week for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, she's talking about meeting her guy over the ridge, which kind of eliminates the Riri Williams theory, maybe, unless she just calls everyone my guy.
Yeah, I think they'll save that. they'll save that for Armor Wars.
Yeah, yeah. They have already announced that she's gonna be introduced in there. Seems that way. And anyway. And then Darcy brings up that, like, oh, hey, we have your blood work, Monica. You can't go back into the hex. It's changing your cells at a molecular level, which can mean a few things. Obviously, it can mean that Wanda can activate the X gene and create mutants, which kind of adds to the endgame theory that the snaps created this crazy energy wave that activated X gene throughout the universe and created mutants, which I guess some people really hate that theory. I don't really know why. It kind of explains why they don't exist.
I like it and I don't like it. I'd rather there be some kind of multiverse thing because it's like, for me, it's the idea. They'd have to build this entire new universe where the mutants haven't been around for hundreds of years. And I don't know if I like that. I would rather it be like they mash up the worlds like Secret Wars I'm thinking of? Not Secret Wars.
It is Secret Wars. That's where they end up combining.
Yeah. I feel like it needs to be a combined universe thing somehow. I don't know.
That's so messy, though.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm not going to pretend to know. Like,
I had this same conversation with Felipe, and I was like, I like that it's getting created in real time because it explains why they haven't been there. Because the multiverse thing is almost worse. You're just like, oh, yeah, we just brought them from the multiverse, and they're here. And it's like, I feel like that's way more of a cop-out than, oh. And it doesn't mean that there wasn't no mutants ever. It just, there wasn't something so catastrophic that it activated the X gene on level.
I like the idea that there's been that somewhere out there, Professor Xavier already has his school that we just don't know about.
He still could. They could just be very few and far between.
Because Deadpool's now canon. So it's like, it has to be like already there. Because Deadpool's now MCU canon.
He experimented on. Which gave him his powers.
No, but I'm saying, but in the Deadpool movies, like the X-Mansion is there, and we've only, the whole little scene where you see them all in the room, I feel like you could write off as a joke, but we've only ever seen Colossus and, you know, Negasonic, like that mansion could very well exist in the MCU as it stands, and it wouldn't fuck with the canon.
No, yeah.
To a degree.
Because they could, the way they could bring in Deadpool could be a multiverse thing. Because I think the X-Men might be a combination of both. Like, we might get some familiar faces, but then the rest are going to be all new people.
Because I would very much like to see the cast from the New Mutants continue as Dawn. Because, like, the movie wasn't perfect, but I enjoyed the movie, and I really would like to see Anya keep playing Magic. So I would like to see what they do with all that. Because that
she was really good Magic. I didn't like that movie at all. The only redeeming qualities for me were that you saw Magic be badass and yeah. Lockheed was in it, and that's pretty much it.
I I'm just such a big Magic fan, and I kind of like the horror kind of spooky vibe of it. I thought it was fun. I tried to watch it without any judgment.
Oh, I was so stoked for that movie. Like, I was so excited. It just like seemed like it was so predictable, like all of it.
It felt like the Justice League, where I feel like, because I know they did reshoots and stuff, it felt like there's a better original cut.
Apparently that was his original cut. Like, Josh Boone came out and he's like, this is because they never got to do the reshoots. Because
maybe they should
obviously
have.
Cannonball was in Stranger Things. Maisie Williams was in Game of Thrones. Anya Taylor-Joy was filming 20,000 movies. Like, the cast was so stacked, they couldn't get everyone back for reshoots because of scheduling. Yeah. So the reshoots never happened. Apparently, the cut that Fox was supposed to put out was different, I guess. But from everything I read, this was supposed to be his, like, vision, which sucks because same guy did Fault in Our Stars, which I love that movie. And it's just, like, this one seemed like it was just so, I don't know, it did very much feel like Justice League. Like, I was stoked to watch it, and I watched it, and I was like, I mean, it's not like it sucked, but I was just like, that happened. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like,
it was better than Dark Phoenix.
That's not saying a lot.
It's something. not saying a lot. So, I don't know. But, yeah, so, back to Quicksilver.
Oh, well, so, we were talking about Monica's thing changing.
Yeah, Because
I was like, oh, are they going to retcon Monica as a mutant? In a way, but she, like, I was talking about you before this, like, it doesn't seem like she's surprised by this. Like, did this happen beforehand and they're just now getting the blood work and these scans and being like, oh, this is weird, you know? Like, I don't know if it's exactly Wanda that caused it, but it could be. We don't know yet, obviously.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. I mean, I wouldn't be mad if she ended up becoming a mutant. Like, that doesn't bother me. But I saw some dude in a group saying it would be disrespectful, which I think is a little too much. Like, nothing's gonna say.
I feel like the comic, I want her to be a cosmic-y, not, I don't want her to be a, I mean I won't be pissed, but I would rather she isn't a mutant. But I don't think that's what's happening. I think that
because her origin in the comics is very similar to what happened to Carol Danvers.
Yeah,
she gets exposed to this machine. It wasn't an Infinity Stone powered machine, but at the same time,
I think it's Carol Danvers, like,
was also infused with Kree blood, so she's like a mixture.
I think it's a combination of, like, Wanda's power is as power, like, whatever power she has that is able to, like, rewrite things or bring Vision's power, whatever she did, like, she can't control it, and she made her super, she gave the kids powers, or Mephisto did, we don't fucking know.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
Before we get to the Quicksilver thing, we end up seeing Vision at the edge of the town where everyone is frozen. He changes into, which is crazy, he uses, it seems like, the power of the Mind Stone. We still don't know if the Mind Stone is actually real or not. And we see him change into his more, like, his Avengers form. He flies up in the air, sees a car, flies down to it. Agnes is in it. And at this point, I think the show did what it intended to do, where I was like, okay, Agnes isn't even a part of this. These were all just nods to trick us and just be cool, you know, comic nods or whatever. But then I talked to my friend Ryan, and he was like, dude, she could talk before he, like, woke her up. No one else could even move. Like, I think she was faking it. And kind of, obviously, he was planning to leave the hex anyway, but she's pointed right to the edge of the hex. She's, like, kind of guiding him out there. It was almost like they were trying to get him out of there because they knew Wanda would expand the hex and make it bigger. You know, it's like, it seems like Agnes still is, she was, like, acting, being like, oh, are you here to help us? You know, it seems because at first I like you were talking about it. She's like, oh, it seems like she's not even a part of this. You know, like I thought the same exact thing. I was like, oh, throw out the Agnes, the Agatha Harkness card. But after he told me that, he made me rethink things. And I was like, oh, you're right. Like she could talk.
I feel like if she is Agnes, though, I feel like then that means Mephisto.
Exactly. And I'm going to get right into more of that now. I do like, though, it even more confirms that Vision has no idea what happened before this all started.
Yeah, he didn't even know he was an Avenger.
And he goes, what's an Avenger?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that kind of... He doesn't even know what he doesn't know.
Yep, so we go back to... Wanda and Pietro are talking again, you know, saying like, oh, our parents would have loved this place. You know, Western New Jersey is really nice. And then he starts saying things that make me think he's definitely not Pietro, more than all the things we've talked about before. He goes, so where are the kids were hiding during all this? You know, were they just sleeping soundly in their beds? And, you know, you woke them up for, you know, the occasional trauma is good for the Halloween crossover episode or whatever. It's like, how would he know there wasn't kids beforehand,
you know? That's obvious. I didn't catch that. Because
Vision brings it up, but it's not like he was there when Vision brought it up. Like, how did he know that kids weren't there? And then he brings up, he's like almost interrogating or like asking us our questions that we have for this. You know, it's like, how are you even doing this? Like, he's like, this is impressive. And she's like, kind of like, so you don't think it's wrong? He's like, no, this is impressive. You know, he's like, you kept, and like he kind of knows information about them before this all started. You know, he's like, you kept the couples with each other, you know, you kind of just use their personalities and warped them a little.
Like he's breaking the fourth wall too much.
Yeah, like he knows way too much of what's going on. And then we see, and she's just kind of like, she gets taken back.
But it's like everybody knows whatever she wants them to know. You know?
Yeah, but how would he know that?
Because she made him know that. It's almost like...
Maybe. It seems like he's not... It seems like he's not affected by any of this at all, though. You know what I mean? Like, he does not follow the rules of this hex.
But then why would they... So why show him, like, the same way Vision was, where he's, like, a dead corpse?
So she gets kind of distracted and put off. I feel like it's whoever's behind this, who made start this, is tricking her with this, like, kind of... Almost tricking her into thinking... It's her brother when it's not her brother, because don't you think if they showed us the real Vision of what he looks like now, but that's not Aaron Taylor Johnson. Like I felt like if it was really dead Pietro plucked from the fucking grave and made to life again, we would have seen Aaron Taylor Johnson's corpse instead of Evan Peters' corpse. But like, you know, she doesn't know what he looked like when he died. She wasn't there. She was fighting the bots in that like cathedral thing, and on the streets, you know, like how would she know that? That doesn't make sense. It's almost, it made me rethink the Vision thing too, other than them saying he's decaying vibranium, that like obviously he's still a fucking corpse, but how, like, he knows too much. It's almost like tricking her into, like, you know, like, hey, this is your brother, remember I died but now I'm back for some reason, like, Don't worry that I look different, you know, like,
because even she's like, why do you look different?
Yeah. He's like, he brings it up too. You know, it's crazy.
Fuck. Dude, I always feel like that fucking Charlie Day meme. Like all the fucking the tax, like this whole show.
Every day from the show, seriously. And then we see Wiccan or Billy get his powers, which is crazy because he can hear thoughts beyond the hex, which is pretty fucking wild. And you think about it, it's like, why wouldn't Wanda have that same ability? Unless she's using too much, trying to controlling the town, maybe. I don't know.
Well, it's like, and he, or also,
are the kids even real? Are the kids just extensions of herself? Like, well, I don't know.
Well, he might just it might not be so much that he can see beyond the hex, but he can see what Vision's seeing. So maybe he's connected to Vision, because Vision's still connected to the illusion. So maybe he's only viewing and seeing and hearing what Vision's hearing, feeling, and seeing. So that's an explanation as well.
Yeah, that totally adds up for sure. He goes and, you know, is saying like, oh, dad's in trouble, something's happening. And they're like, oh, we think he's dying. And then again, another thing to add Quicksilver not being Quicksilver. Oh, your dead husband can't die twice, which is funny because he technically already did die twice. But and then outside, we're seeing Vision get ripped apart. Like he is obviously connected to this hex. And there's two interesting visual things. Him getting pulled apart kind of looks like one of the House of M covers, where it's Wanda's face kind of getting pulled apart, like how he is. And it's also kind of like he's dusting in a way more painful way. And the thing that's the most heartbreaking about this scene to me is like, okay, cool, we're seeing Vision die for a third time. Awesome. But he's still saying you need to help the people in here.
Like, you know, like even when he's not real, he's still that pure good.
Yeah, dude. Like his soul still like exists somehow, you know, it's still him.
Yeah.
Like, there's like the whole thing I talked about earlier. Like he has become aware of sort of what's going on in this hex, at least that he knows that it's wrong.
I think it's important to keep note too that like it's like, hey, if like they're saying that maybe the best parts of Vision could be saved. Like, so the power source that maybe animated him and gave him his powers was taken away, but there's nothing to say that like his mind isn't still in the body somewhere, and she brought the mind to life. So like whatever made him, and he like Tony said, he's evolving. So it's almost like you give it life and it can continue to keep growing and evolving like it was. So it was almost her power bringing him back allowed him to just kind of like, it's like almost like the computer is still there. There's just, it's not plugged in. She plugged it back in and now it's self-learning again. And that's how I'm trying to think. That's how I'm quantifying it, at least.
That makes sense. That makes complete sense. So Wanda pauses everyone and expands the hex.
Which was cool just to see her like in her classic costume using her powers for a second. Just seeing her like with her old, like the costume, gosh, it looked so, like even as though it looked campy, it looked great.
Yeah. I want her to keep the headdress. Like,
I think she's going to, because the little clips, the title, we still haven't seen it, but like the posters and the billboards and the title card for the show where the televisions are in front of them and you can see their costumes through the televisions.
Yeah.
Like Hot Topic has a giant wall clang on their wall now. You can see her, like, it's like a Vision style MCU like comic costume. But we haven't seen it. But if you look, like she has like a new costume that you can only see through the television filter when it's her body. But it's like if you took Vision's costume and Wanda'd it up, and it's so I think she's gonna get some this MCU iteration of her comic costume.
That'd right be here tight.
Because you can literally see it. Like they show you like you can see part of the arm. The chest.
Oh, yeah.
And I almost want to say you can see part of the headdress, but maybe that's not correct. But
yeah, that would be sick.
We all want that.
Yeah. And then we see the hex get expanded. Almost all of S.W.O.R.D. gets sucked up and turned into a fucking circus, including Darcy, which we don't see what she turns into. I saw the memes going around of what if she's just her character from Two Broke Girls next episode, which would be hilarious.
Oh my God. That's actually so funny. That's really good. I didn't even think about that.
Which I guess we'll see. I don't know. Either way, it's going to be interesting. And she has that weird, like the same poster with one of the TVs. She has this weird emblem on, like, it looks like a jacket or something, which I don't know. Some people have kind of guessed that has to do with the Darkhold, which maybe it does. We have theorized about the Darkhold coming up in the series.
Yeah, so I mean, maybe. I feel like with Doctor Doom and Fantastic Four and all the mythical stuff and the mystic side of the MCU.
Yeah, Blade and Moon Knight.
It's and now with the multiverse and like Ghost Rider, like you know Ghost Rider is gonna find some way into this. It's inevitable that the dark
eventually,
for sure.
So
I'm sending you this picture of the costume thing right now.
I've seen it. I just don't think I've because like in Monica's you can kind of see of what might be the MCU version of the Photon or Spectrum costume for sure, which seems like we're going to get that in full force by the end too. Hopefully I would love if we see that. And the only people who escape are Jimmy, Monica, Hayward, and two other random S.W.O.R.D. people.
Yeah. I did notice though that the S.W.O.R.D. jackets are kind of a nod to like the S.W.O.R.D. costumes from the comic, like all the cool characters have. Oh. Like with the rectangular. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, like the older sword ones.
Like the newer arc.
Oh, because the new one, they're like all mutants.
Yeah, they're like all badass and shit. And they have like there's like the blue and then the yellow. But if you look, it's like the patterns on the costumes are very similar to the jackets that they're all wearing. So I don't know. That might be just a nod and it might be like leading up. But the fact that they're all mutants and it's the new arc, like the comics and the movies, like all know what they're doing and are existing simultaneously at this point.
Yeah.
So you can't help but look at the comics and be like, what are they doing? What are they trying to put in our brains? Because like before, it was like you had everybody who used to be a comic fan clashing with what's happening in the MCU, where now they're all by one property. So they're going to be a lot more streamlined as far as like, so to be less confusing. So if maybe, like, now Sword's a bunch of mutants and now we're bringing in mutants and Sword's... And then plus WandaVision with the sword, it's, you can't help but wonder if that's the angle they're going to take. Yeah. I don't know. That's just something I just thought of like 2 days ago though.
Definitely. It definitely could be. I definitely think we might see a transition of Sword eventually, if it's in this series or not. And we'll see if Nick Fury ends up taking over Sword. Cause obviously this is like right after the events of Endgame and we see him on the ship, which is a few months from now in Far From Home. Like, is he involved with Sword or is it something else entirely? I don't know.
Oh, fuck, man. I don't know. it's going to be bananas.
Yeah. These next three episodes are going to be insane. I can feel it.
Yeah. And I'm like, I'm also like so ready for Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Like, oh, me too.
Oh my God. I just got the new pop. I don't really buy pops, but I just love Winter Soldier so much. I had to buy the new pop of Bucky. Also, because like there's maybe like five Bucky things that they've released since showed up in the movies. So like I have to get what I can get. But I have a feeling that I just want to see as much merchandise for him as there is for Captain America. Like,
oh, like I'm sure.
He's my boy.
I'm sure there's going to be a lot more as soon as this show comes out for sure.
Dude, it's like, and I wonder if I wonder if they rewrote anything like we were talking about before to make it make sense coming after.
Yeah, they did reshoots after WandaVision was already wrapped.
Yeah, so it's like there's between that and then, you know, Spider-Man takes place after. There's a lot of shit with the timelines here where it's like you really don't know what to expect. And it's
because we don't know when that's taking place, other than obviously it's after Endgame, but we don't know when after Endgame.
It has to be like long enough. It can't be as recent as WandaVision. It has to be like after WandaVision, because I feel like there's no way they are. Well, they don't already have a new Cap. You know what I mean? Like 9 days later. Like, I don't know. True. You know what I mean? It felt like, so I feel like it has to be after. So it's like, do they know what happens here? Are they involved? Like, they said it feels like an Avenger, like a full-on MCU Avengers movie at the end of this show. Like, for all we know, fucking like Falcon, Rhodey, Bucky all show up to help with whatever the hell's going down at the end of this series. And like, and then like
maybe,
and Disney Plus is just like, oh yeah, like we're doing this, like we're going that far. I don't know.
Maybe. I have no idea what's gonna happen at the end of this. That's why I love it. I have no idea how it was going to.
And do you think we're going to get second seasons of these shows, or they're all going to be one-offs in between movies?
Feige addressed it. It seems like it depends property to property. This one, I don't think so. I think it's going to be a one-off. Falcon Winter Soldier might, maybe. It seems like Loki, there was like rumors of a season two of Loki already being greenlit, but that hasn't been confirmed. So I don't know. Huh. I have no idea. It seems like it's a case-by-case basis, and obviously how it flows in with the movies too makes a difference. But I don't think Vision makes it out of this, so I don't think there'll be another WandaVision.
Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't.
I mean, he might, but as my friend's like, oh, do you think we're going to get like White Vision? And I was like, I think we're going to get really fucking Dead Vision, and that's what's going to be the end of this.
I just feel if Paul Bettany deserved better.
I mean, he's the longest-running actor in the MCU.
Yeah, but I still feel like Vision never really got his full fair shot.
Not really. You're right. Not really.
Like, there's been plot armor stopping him from being as badass as he's supposed to be.
Yeah. Non-stop. I mean, I don't know. We'll see. I'm not going to be mad if he gets killed, because it's probably going to lead to Wanda like ripping a time in the, like a fucking portal in the multiverse open. So I'm not going to be mad at that, but I guess we'll see. If he gets remade, like Shuri fixes him and they make it White Vision even down the road, and like if he dies in this and gets brought back as White Vision later, I wouldn't be mad at that either, which is a possibility.
Oh, we're going to start finding out real soon.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I think we'll start getting answers next week. Hopefully at least we will know who the aerospace engineer is. Maybe. Probably. Seems like it.
We're ready.
Austin, anything else you want to add before we sign off on this one?
No, I'm just going to sit in turmoil for the next 5 days.
Fair. Same here, I guess, you know. I'll just be watching Money Heist, so.
Yeah. I'll have to check that out.
It's wild, man. I recommend it highly.
I'll see you next Sunday, though, for sure.
All right, man. Till next time, guys. This is Metalcore Nerds.
See you, fam.